Yes. So way back in 1997, more than 40% of teens were part of the workforce. Just over 15 years later, that number hovered around 25%. Those years comprise what's now been dubbed the millennial generation. And Washington Post columnist Andrew Van Dam wondered what the heck happened to millennials. Van Dam has a new column in the Washington Post called The Department of Data. He recently wrote about the shifting tide of the workforce in the U.S. in a column titled How Gen Z Teens Accidentally Blew Up the Myth of the Lazy Millennial. Thanks for joining the show, Andrew.
Thank you so much for dragging me in here.
So, you know, you took an analytical look at Gen Z and millennials in the workforce, at history. What drew you to this topic initially?
Well, the thing is, we talk about generations a lot, but they usually do not show up on charts. Like, normally it's a gradual thing, right? Populations shift over time and those boundaries are kind of fuzzy. But you look at this chart, and when I looked at teen employment, I immediately saw something funny, that with the generational shift was an immediate fundamental change in teen employment trends. And so when you see something like that, you wonder, wait a minute, are generations real? Is there a secret switch someone's flipping in there that, you know, changes kids from lazy millennials to hardworking Zoomers? Like, what's going on?
So, you know, as we're getting into this conversation, what actually, how would you categorize a millennial group and a Gen Z group? What are those age groups, classifications?
So let's see. Millennials are born between 1981 and 96? Just a second here. We're going to find out. And so I punch these in, but what I look at is when folks turn 16 rather than when they're born, obviously, because that's when they're hitting the teen workforce and when the teen jobs start shifting from generation to generation. And it looks like, Pew says that millennials were born 1981 to 96, and then Gen Z goes all the way after that to 2012. And who knows what generation is next? It's going to be a long time before I have to worry about those kids hitting the workforce.
Yeah, we're not worried about Gen Alpha right now. They're still babies, yeah. Toddlers, you know. So, you know, those first millennials, they turned 16 around 97. What does that data tell us about the workforce this group walks into during that time?
Oh, geez. So the first millennials actually entered a workforce with very high teen employment. About 45% of teens were working. But about as a year or two after millennials entered the workforce, teen employment started to plunge like an incredible amount. It dropped by 10 percentage points to the lowest level on record. And then just as millennials were starting to get their footing a little bit in the workforce, they got hammered by the Great Recession. And so two recessions sort of define the millennial experience in the teen workforce. First in 2001, after 9/11.com boom, that kind of thing. And then second, of course, the Great Recession. And during both of those, millennial employment rates dropped by about 10 percentage points, which if you stare at charts all day like I do, a 10 percentage point drop is just astonishing. This is just like seismic events. And we thought that teen employment was done forever, that millennials had completely killed it off, that teens just couldn't work anymore because they had so many other obligations, or perhaps because they were entitled snowflakes.
Yeah.
I've got a question for you, Amanda, here. And by the way, our phone lines are open, 313-577-1019. Love you to call and get in on the conversation. Are you part of Gen Z or millennial generation? You feel like maybe you're getting kind of a raw deal in the media when it comes to work ethic. Give us a call, 313-577-1019. Now, you just did mention one of the big things that happened when millennials entered the workforce, which was 9/11 and the dot-com bust. In your looking over all of this data, did you notice perhaps there was an increase in the number of millennials who joined the armed forces at that time?
Whoa, that is a great question. And there must have been, just because we did deploy increased deployments and recruitment during that time. But I haven't actually looked at it, and I would certainly love to. That's such a good idea.
What are some of the main things that we define millennials by? Like, what are the main things that they were bringing into the workforce? How do we talk about them at that time?
So the thing is, we almost don't talk about what they're bringing into the workforce. And that's the fundamental finding of this column, is that it's not asking what millennials can do for the workforce. To really understand millennials and work, you need to ask what the workforce did for millennials. And the answer is not much. Like, millennials spent their entire lives, their entire teen working lives, in sort of these jobless recoveries after two major recessions. They were competing with Gen X and boomers who had, you know, 10, 20 years of employment experience, but they'd been laid off from a good job and were desperate for anything. They were fighting for entry-level work. And so millennials had an incredibly difficult time getting hired during that period because the workforce was totally flush with skilled workers who were willing to work for cheap. And if a business has the option between training up a teen and hiring an experienced 35-year-old, of course they're going to take the 35-year-old. Teens are harder to train. And unless employers are absolutely forced to do so by a really tight labor market, they're probably going to slack off on that. They're going to take the easy way out and they're going to hire an experienced worker.
Well, it sounds like you're talking about the myth of the laziness or entitlement being true.
Oh, goodness, no. The thing is that, yes, teens are harder to train right now. And that is partially because they have more educational obligations. Millennials were the most educated generation in history, and Gen Z is going to surpass that. And I'm sure they will eventually become the most educated generation in history. And so, yes, teens have more obligations right now. It is harder to deal with all of your extracurricular activities, all of your college schedule, everything else, or high school schedule, depending on their age. But when we talked to employers, they said that, you know what, if you need to hire teens, if you actually are facing a worker shortage and you can't get experienced workers, you will make that work. Employers have, in the past few years, as they ran out of cheap experienced workers, they figured out, wait a minute, it's not that teens are lazy, it's that we weren't working with these new generations of teens. We weren't working around their scheduling needs and everything else. For example, I talked to one employer in North Dakota, and she said, I could never hire teens because they couldn't work our schedule. And then I realized I needed to flex with their schedules. And just as importantly, I needed to hire teens who had completely different activities. I need to hire one drama kid, one sports kid, spread out my sports kids between different teams. And that way I could work around their schedule. If the drama kid had to be at a play on Friday night, maybe the baseball kid is available, something like that. And employers learned that if they're willing to put out the effort, teen workers will come. It's just that they weren't putting out the effort because they could have it easy. They could just hire an experienced worker.
Andrew, we're going to go to a call right now. By the way, the phone lines are open. If you'd like to join the conversation here on Culture Shift, we're talking about work ethic and the ability to work, the differences between Gen Z, millennials, and even older generations. We'd love you to join the conversation no matter what generation you're a part of. 313-577-1019. Laurel is calling us in Ferndale. Welcome to Culture Shift, Laurel.
Thank you so much.
And you had a great point. You were saying that this idea of, I guess, I mean, specifically the American work ethic is just branded incorrectly.
Yeah, I think what we miss in the work ethic discourse is that for a long time, and yeah, part of it is due to shortages in the labor market, employers have been able to employ people in somewhat predatory ways at the expense of our personal lives, sometimes at the expense of workers' dignity. And I don't think it's necessarily that younger generations have less of a work ethic. I just think possibly we aren't going to accept labor market terms that are unfair to us and put a job above everything else.
Laura, what would some of those unfair standards that you're talking about be? Do you have any personal experience?
I think part of it does come down to, especially when you're looking at lower skilled jobs, scheduling, and also predatory scheduling in the terms of really short notice. So things like Starbucks workers who have 2-hour shifts, 10 times a week. That's not something you can build a life around, especially when it comes to childcare. So that's a big thing. I also think that it's just how on people are supposed to be. You know, if you think about the labor rights movement, you know, how many decades ago, people fought for dignity. People fought to have lives outside of what a job was. And I think since that time, we've really eroded that line, whether it's a blue collar job or a white collar job, and made your job your entire identity. So outside of, you know, a scheduling thing, it could be, you know, just being expected to be on all the time, being expected to work whenever you're possibly available. And I think that the younger generations just aren't going to accept that as a status quo anymore.
Andrew, would you like to comment on Laura O'Laurel there, on her comment?
Yes, and she's absolutely right. It is kind of a structural thing where you cannot count on teens anymore to work like an adult worker. You cannot assume that they're going to be able to put in, you know, the same 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. shift every single day of the week that you and I might have done when we were growing up, because they have other priorities, but more importantly, have other obligations. They have, you know, all of this education, extracurricular activities, what have you. And so employers are starting to learn that they cannot take that steady 4 to 10 teen job scheduling for granted anymore, that they need to be a little bit more flexible if they're going to attract today's teen workers. They need to approach them on their own terms.
You know, Andrew, just personally for myself, I was lucky enough to have that type of transitional job where the employer was really easygoing. She understood my schedule, and she allowed me to work while also having sports and also having different things in my life going on. I was working at an ice cream shop, of course, but it was very, very easy to work that position because she made it flexible for me and others who are also working in that position to be in school, do extracurricular activities, but also have that part-time job on the side. So I definitely feel what you're saying about what's happening in the workforce for teens, having that opportunity there per the employers. We would like to go to a caller, though. Peter in Bloomfield Township is here with us. He wants to talk a little bit about Gen Xer's experience.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I'm 43 years old. I grew up in the 80s, and I worked right after high school in the late 90s, just entering the job market. And then during the recession of 2008, I then joined the military in my 30s. I did that for approximately, right now I'm up to about 12 years to include reserve time, and then it was in my late 30s going into my 40s that I then joined, went after my degree. And I can say from firsthand experience in the classrooms right now that these teenagers and or 20s are completely stressed out trying to meet all these obligations that this world has thrust upon them. Mine was no picnic either, because I was bringing in two kids, working multiple jobs, so with my wife. I mean, the expectations of now versus the 80s or 90s are there's almost no comparison how much more work today's up-and-coming youth has to achieve in order to then be useful, if not also broke with student loans in today's world.
Wow, Peter, thank you so much for calling into Culture Shift today. By the way, our number is 313-577-1019 if you'd like to join the conversation as well as Peter. But Andrew, Peter makes an incredible point there, which is we are in a vastly different world than we were in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. We are dealing not only with major economic upheaval constantly, it seems, still finishing up a 20-year war, oncoming climate collapse, and now another pandemic seems to be starting here. This is a different world for teenagers who want to be a part of the working life and to you know to grow and join and go to college and do all these things. So as Peter makes a good point, there's a lot of stress on today's teens and in their 20s as well.
And you know what? That is going to stick. The scars of that are going to last for the rest of their working lives. People who are able to get jobs as teens, who are lucky enough to get jobs as teens, researchers have found, are more likely to graduate from high school because they learn key, you know, like schedule management and work habits. They're less likely to be arrested for either petty or violent crime. And it increases their lifetime earnings. It increases their educational outcomes. So this one blip, not getting a teen job, can set millennials behind other generations for the rest of their working careers. And that's just a hole that millennials are going to always have to dig their way out of.
So, Andrew, when we're talking about the Zoomers today and we're talking about the Zoomers entering the workforce, can you talk a little bit about some of what we're seeing, and especially when we're talking about their wages increasing and as well as employers making it easier for them to enter the workforce? Can you talk about what Zoomers are experiencing today?
Yeah, so employers have finally realized that we're not going to be able to count on a slack labor market. We're not going to be able to count on available workers just pouring through the door whenever we post an application. So we have to go out there and we have to work to create the teen workforce that we need. For example, I talked with one employer who is partnering with teens who are as young as 14 or 15. And maybe they're not working a lot, but he's teaching them life skills, work skills, setting them up with community mentors so that by the time they get to the age of 16, they will be ready to work in this case, it's a soul food restaurant, but in, you know, whatever entry level occupations that are needed. And so finally, teens are finding employers that are willing to meet them on their own terms in terms of training and scheduling, but also in terms of pay. Right now, obviously, teen workers are seeing their highest pay in history. It's still going up pretty rapidly. And as teens pointed out when we talked to them, they said, yeah, of course we're going to work if we can get, you know, $12, $14, $15 an hour. Anyone would do that. It's not that millennials were lazy. It's that they didn't have the opportunity to get these $15 an hour jobs that we can now apply for as a result of the much tighter labor market.
So how does this look for the Zoomers going forward? How does this set them up for their future in the workforce?
It's bright. It's significantly brighter than millennials because they are seeing a tighter labor market. They're seeing rising employment rates, whereas we saw millennials, teen employment fell off a cliff during the entire millennial era. It never recovered, whereas Zoomers are graduating into the one of the tightest labor markets we've ever seen. And they are going to have that employment experience that creates their increases their lifetime earnings. They're going to have higher starting salaries, which leads to higher salaries for the rest of their life. And so it's a little bit brighter picture. Now, brighter picture might mean, you know, similar to Gen Z or boomers, or Gen X or boomers. It might not mean they're the most, the luckiest generation in history, but at least we're sort of returning to that historical norm.
I just keep hearing, wow, millennials really got screwed.
Yep.
Yes. In the other stories, I have found that millennials are literally the unluckiest generation in U.S. history. Like, I went all the way back to the lost generation, to generations around the time of the Declaration of Independence. And nobody graduated into a worse set of economic circumstances than our good friends, the millennials.
So basically, give millennials a break.
Yes, please.
Give us a break. It's a room full of millennials right now. Give us a break. Andrew Van Dam is a Washington Post columnist. He joined the show today. Speak with us on Culture Shift. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks. It was great fun.